This is the Friday, July 23rd, 2021 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us is Ted Seifried. Back for more. All right. So we're going to start with another Twitter question. This is from Camburn and Climate. He is asking, with one-third of the corn soy crop in severe drought, no relief in sight, are trend line yields for 2021 a thing of the past?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think we have a solid answer for that quite yet. And, you know, I do crop tour, or I go on crop tour the third week of August every year. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. I want to see what we've got. And I'm on the Western leg, so I'll be going through a lot of those fields that have been affected by drought. But there is some really good corn out there. I mean, Iowa, Illinois, well, parts of Iowa, Illinois, looks really good. So, you know, the good's going to outweigh the bad to some extent. But doing the math, I mean, look, the USDA's trendline yield would be a new record yield by almost 3 bushels an acre. So is that realistic to think in a year like this? And I'd say probably not. However, I'm also not in the camp of saying that this is a 172 national average yield or worse. I do kind of feel like at the moment I'm looking at a range between 176 and 178. So it is a reduction in production. We already know what acreage is, and acreage didn't come up as much as we had expected. So if you put the lower than expected acreage in there and lower the yield a little bit, that does tighten the balance sheet down to about a 1.2 or 1.3 billion bushel carryover, which I think is justifying like a 5.25 price at some point. But as we talked about during the main program, you know, at some point you have to worry about demand. And at these higher prices, that demand seems to have slowed down, especially when we're talking about export demand. So at some point, you might have to see the corn market go and find that demand. And I've been calling it a demand hunting expedition.
I like that.
I like 480 corn at some point during harvest. Now, if we do that and we find the demand, that sets the stage for us to rally further when we have our post-harvest rally into the end of the calendar year and then beyond that into the spring months. But we almost always set harvest lows unless we're totally surprised by a weather event. Last year, derecho and you know, late season dryness kind of caught us out of the blue. We were expecting a fantastic crop until all of a sudden August came along. This year, we've known about this story and we've priced it in. Mm. So I do think at some point we go make that harvest low. And then, if we can find the demand, then we have reason to rally after that.
Okay. Well, that leads us to our next question. So, from South Dakota, what's the future hold for spring wheat?
Yeah. Hi, South Dakota. And yes, South Dakota wants to know about the spring wheat,
yes,
for
they
sure.
Do.
I'm still bullish spring wheat. I mean, this is a disaster of a crop for spring wheat. I mean, we talk about, you know, the corn and suffering, and yes, they're seeing something in corn, but man, this is a disaster of a spring wheat crop, both in the U.S. and Canada. And so there is upside potential in the spring wheat as long as it doesn't get more than about $3 more than Chicago and Kansas City. So as long as Chicago and Kansas City can go along with it, I see more upside potential in the spring wheat. And I think currently my thoughts are somewhere between 10.75 and 11.25 is very possible for spring wheat. But there's so many other outside factors. You know, we're talking inflation. Well, if that craters, you know, we saw on Monday, we saw a big risk off day where everything sold off, regardless of the individual fundamentals of the markets. When you get risk off and investors running for the doors, then that stops things. Like, you know, people just run away, and so prices go down. But I want to be bullish spring wheat. I think there's fundamental justification for higher prices yet. That chart still looks really good to me. So again, as long as we don't outrun Chicago and Kansas City by too wide of a margin, I still see more upside there.
Hmm, okay. All right. Last question from Twitter. This is another one from South Dakota. So it says, in drought-stricken areas of the states, if they can hold 100% of production, what pricing opportunities are ahead?
In drought-stricken areas. Okay, so I think the question is asking, you know, for areas that are affected by drought, meaning they will have less production, so that might mean, you know, the storage, if they could normally store 70% of the crop, well, now they might be able to store all of it. And what to do with that? Okay. Yeah, I mean, storage historically has been, you know, what is it, 8 out of 10 years has been a great marketing plan. But there are those years where it's not. I have to say I'm a bit concerned that this is a year where it might not be. You know, you look at where the prices are right now, you're really very profitable. I think you need to be selling a good portion of your bushels. Now, I understand if you're in a drought-stricken area that you can't sell 100% of your APH because it's just not going to be there, right? But if you go to 40%, you know, I think that's a very healthy thing to do right now to manage the downside risk. There's, I'd say, a fair amount of downside risk from all the different things that can affect markets and push prices lower. There's also ways to come in and re-own calls or re-own bushels, use calls to re-own bushels. So using the board to manage risk, selling the board to manage risk, or cash sales or HTAs, any of the three, that's how you're going to manage your risk right now, and use call options, for example, to manage the opportunity of higher prices. But these are prices that you need to be selling to at least some degree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, finally. So between corn and soybeans, which has the least amount of downside right now?
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's a very, very good question, Brooke.
And this is where the show might come off the rails, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's my thing. First of all, I have a corn hat and I don't have a soybean hat. But listen, I am more bullish. I'm more bullish soybeans longer term because I look at that balance sheet and I think it's razor thin. And I do believe the demand is going to be there. But right now, the market, rightfully so, is questioning whether that demand is going to be there from China. Our crush demand has really slowed down here domestically as well. With the problems in the South America, with the problems with the Brazilian crop for corn, that means that we're probably going to see a fair amount of an increase in our exports. I think corn has a fairly limited downside potential right now, in the here and now, compared to where soybeans are, just because of the issues that that Brazil had with their second season crop between drought and then frost. So I'm going to go with corn. Again, I have the corn hat. I don't have the bean hat. But like I said, longer term, I'm a lot more bullish soybeans if we actually do indeed find that demand. And I do think we will. It's just a question of how. I'm worried that we're going to have to see lower prices to flush it out. So that's why corn hat.
Corn hat. All right. I'm having a hard time looking at you with a straight face. Nice job. You wear it well. Okay, we got a little corny there at the end, but that was nice. All right. Thank you, Ted, for your insight, as always. Next week, we look at the return of wolves to the upper Midwest, and Matt Bennett will join us to analyze the markets. Thanks for watching, and have a great week.